You're listening to Go Fish with Mike Buck on AM 690, The Fishing Answer. This segment is being brought to you by the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council at wpcouncil.org. Now, troll on in.
You know, as you know, sometimes we have folks that are not on the council, but certainly know about the council and what we do. And that's why this segment is being brought to you courtesy of the council. And the mission is to promote sustainable fishing and produce optimum yield. Or Westpac's mission is fish forever. And a guy that is doing that because he's retired from us workaday guys, but he's a fisherholic. And now he's got a brand new thing going. He is getting long in the tooth, and he's teaching kids that don't even have their second teeth yet how to fish. I'm talking about HawaiiBassFishing.com, Stan Wright. Hey, Stan, long time no see.
Oh, well, we've been out fishing, that's why.
That's right, of course. You know, hey, by the way, it is sort of neat. And as soon as I found out about your new thing, which I want to tell everybody about, I remembered a phrase that I saw on a T-shirt in Cabela's last year. And you've heard it before. And it's a mantra of us in the industry that say, you know, give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, but you teach a man to fish, and you feed him forever. I am so impressed that you are now the only guy in Hawaii to have a certain designation by the Boy Scouts of America. Tell us about that.
Well, I attended the Philmont Training Center in New Mexico at Philmont Scout Ranch, and I am now Hawaii's only, but soon to be more, because that's what I went there to learn how to teach it.
Mm-hmm.
I am a certified angling instructor. BSA Certified Angling Instructor.
I'm going to guess. You tell me what it means, but I'm going to guess you're the only one that showed up with a two-speed 130 pen reel.
you know, it's funny. Out of the class of 16, there was a guy from Florida and me, and we were the only two that out of the 16 in the class that had any saltwater experience
at
all.
Isn't that funny?
And when we started talking about marlin and 300-pound test line, those fly fishermen just said,
What are you talking about? But, you know, I can remember as a scout, both as a Cub Scout, then later on as a Boy Scout, and then later on as an Eagle Scout, these different merit badges. And there's always been some kind of hunting and fishing on them. But I don't know, I didn't know what that meant in today's language. What you're talking about today is if you're going to teach a scout, they have guidelines, and you fulfilled them.
Well, you probably remember Boy's Life magazine.
Yeah, I do.
Well, they came out and did a survey and said, what would you kids like to do in the outdoors? And number four on the list was fishing.
What was number one and two and three?
Camping, swimming, and hiking.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
And then they said, let's go fishing. So what the Boy Scouts did, they came out with this program called the Complete Angler.
Okay.
So if you get the fishing merit badge, and you get the fly fishing merit badge, and you get the fish and wildlife management merit badge, then you qualify for the complete angler.
And I'm guessing it's like when no matter where in the country you go to McDonald's, French fries taste like the same. What they're trying to do is standardize this so that a kid that has this medal in New Hampshire and a kid that has this medal in Lihue has the same medal.
Exactly.
Well,
and they want to get kids out there fishing, and we're starting with Cub Scout.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of programs, you know, like Ho'omalahia over in Kaneohe is the perfect place to take kids fishing. So what I'm doing, I'm going around to all the packs and the troops and say, okay, you want to go fishing? You want to get your fishing merit badge? Let's have a little seminar before you go. These are the safety points. This is the gear. This is how you use the gear. This is what you need to take with you to catch fish.
Hmm. Well, I noticed, you know, in all the last several thousand fishermen's festivals, that whenever you do your thing, whether it's a casting thing or a flipping thing, that the biggest smiles and the biggest aha moments come from kids.
Oh, yeah. The kids love it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all we kids love to go catch fish.
but you know, what we're talking about in this day and age, and I know it's a little bit more serious, it's sustainability and everything else. I want you to tell everybody how scouting is not only embraced teaching people to fish, but to conserve and release and do all the things, not just go to a stream and catch a whole bunch of fish and let them die on the side of the beach.
Funny you should bring that up. That's where you get into that fish and wildlife management merit badge.
Yeah.
In this class, they told us you got to work very closely with your, well, here it's DLNR and Aquatic Resources. What can we do to have a good fishery? How can we maintain the fishery? How can we make it better for our children in the future?
Well, as you know, that's exactly what the council's all about. I mean, we all have meetings all the time, and it's not just about limits and sizes and licensing, and it's self-policing and a code of ethics. We talked in the last couple of weeks on the show about the code of the fisherman's code of ethics. Well, I think the great example is that scouting encompasses not only code of ethics, but now specifically a fishing code of ethics.
They sure do. And then we've also got the leave no trace or sustainability. You know, leave the place nicer than you found it.
Isn't that why some of the fishing grounds, shoreline fishing grounds, have been shut down? Because landowners or stakeholders say, hey, you know what? These people abuse this. I know it's mostly not the fishermen. And isn't the mantra, take away more than you bring in?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, if you look at the list of things that you're supposed to take fishing, the last thing on the list, take a garbage bag so you can pick up rubbish and take it out. My old granddaddy used to say, he'd say, son, always put the gate up, because if you let the guy's cows get out, he'll never let you
He'll never let you back fishing on property again. Yeah. Well, that is so true. And I know they just had the big deal up in Hanama Bay with all the multiple keys and locks. We could talk about that forever. But bottom line here is that this is a program. Now, I know that scouting is huge, and it always has been here. What do you anticipate that the whole scouting effort in Hawaii might need as far as a number of qualified instructors like yourself? How can you teach people?
Well, I'm going to try to get as many people trained as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
You want the kids to have success. You want to take them to a place like Ho'omalahia or someplace where they can catch a fish, any fish, within, say, about 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's about the attention span, isn't it? I mean, you know, I can remember back with my kids and now grandkids. If you can have a kid for 30 minutes, that's a mighty long attention span.
When you're sitting there waiting for that bobber to move, I mean, minutes seem like centuries.
tell me how your other favorite place might play into this as well. I do know that you've talked many, many times about how at Lake Wilson, particularly with some of our mainland families, you know, some of our service families and their kids, that's where the baton and fishing gets passed.
That's right. We try to get them up there. Lake Wilson's a little difficult to fish from shore. It's much easier to fish from a boat. Well, that's why we did the Hawaii Bass Fishing website. It's a way to exchange information and get the people that say, hey, what's this about? What is Lake Wilson? You can go there, and it's got just a ton of information. And I'm going to start, now that I'm doing this thing with the Boy Scouts, I'm going to put up another page or two in there to go specifically on how you take a kid up there and how do you get the right tackle, again, the snacks, the sunscreen, the whole works.
Sure.
How to take a kid fishing so he'll have a good time.
You know, one thing that came to mind when you first told me about this is that, all right, let's say that there's a kid that's a Cub Scout or a Boy Scout now that wants to do this. It seems to me that what you're saying is there's been new thinking with regards to how a kid qualifies or how he meets the criteria for that. In other words, he's got to have a certified instructor like you or someone else to be able to learn that and then adapt and then prove the skills.
Well, we have the merit badge counselors.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could be a merit badge counselor, if you know, if you like to fish and do that, you could, whatever your hobby is, you would probably qualify for merit badge counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a little, I think it's about a 15-minute training course, and it talks about youth protection, and it talks about the paperwork and things like that. But, you know, no big deal. You can get out there and you can teach. What I'm trying to do is get these merit badge counselors and give them that 12 hours of classroom so they can be a better merit badge counselor.
Absolutely. I love that. Where did this, first of all, how long has this been going on? And how did it get collected? How did it get conceived by the Boy Scouts?
Well, I think it's been about 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I got my certificate, I looked and I'm number 556.
In the nation.
So there's not in the in the world. So
there ain't
that many of us out there. But
hopefully,
if we can get going, there's going to be a lot more of us. But again, it's kids want to go fishing. What can we do to make their experience better. Did you know that fishing merit badge was one of the original 50-something merit badges 100 years ago?
I was going to guess that because, I mean, obviously, how to learn how to start a fire from kindling wood and you know, rub sticks. There's some really basic things that you would expect to be there. But then the minute you think about scouting, you think about camping and outdoors, and what do you think about hunting and fishing?
But Lord Baden-Powell, the original, you know, the founder of Boy Scout, he was an avid fisherman. And he's got a lot of, in fact, he was just elected to the International Game Fish Hall of Fame.
My goodness.
I didn't even know that.
I got to tell you something funny. One of my favorite reality TV shows is this thing called American Pickers. And you know, they get out in the backwoods and they find rusty gold and all this stuff. But what I'm really amazed at is, number one, when they find Hawaiian stuff, like surfboards or whatever. And then number two, the vast amount of collectible fishing memorabilia that's out there, even in museums.
It is unbelievable, the price of some of those old fishing
those
lures and rot.
I've
got some stuff that belonged to my grandfather,
I bet
you know, from the 1920s. And there's no way. And I've got my dad's bamboo fly rod. Everybody says, you got to use it. You got to use it. And I said, no, I can.
You use it. Yeah,
collector's item.
Hey, but I tell you, one of the things that they found in the back of the barn was a really, really neat old creel. And in the creel, a lot of people don't even know what a creel is, but in that creel were about two or three dozen pristine 100-year-old plugs. And I think they gave them like $100 for the thing, and I figure each one of those worth about $100.
Hey, you got that right. I've got a collection of stuff that I got from my dad and some of his friends, and I framed them. I put them on a chalk thing, or a,
yeah, of course,
a cork thing, and framed the whole deal. They're sitting up there, and it's amazing.
I have a favorite group, as you know. Sometimes when we're playing music, and early in the program, I played one song, and it's the greatest fishing band in the world. And one of their songs is called Tying Flies and Telling Lies. And it's about how the guys go over on a Friday night to so-and-so's house, and they tie flies, get ready for the weekend, and tell each other big stories. Isn't that probably, Stan, and maybe why the Boy Scouts are lighting up right now, isn't that one of the greatest ways to bond with a kid?
It sure is.
Yeah.
You take a kid fishing. In fact, we Boy Scouts teamed up with the Take a Kid Fishing folks.
Yeah.
And the rod and reel manufacturers, tackle manufacturers, boy, they're all behind us on this. Because, hey, we want, you know, our business depends on future fishermen. And so we love it that you guys are getting them out there, getting them excited. Did you know that if a boy earns the fishing merit badge?
Yeah.
Which 35% of them do, they will fish for the rest of their life.
I was going to say, you have to make sure that you when we said that slogan earlier, give a man a fish, feed him for a day, teach a man to fish, he'll do it for life. I think that not only but the ethics that they learn get absorbed and then passed on. Because I think that let's say that you teach a scout how to fish, a Boy Scout, and he's got a circle of friends that aren't scouts, but they go fishing together. Now this kid's the teacher.
That's right. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get their knowledge out there so they can share it with their friends.
So hopefully you're going to have a link to it on HawaiiBassFishing.com. But what about the scout's presence? If somebody's out there listening right now that has a scout wannabe or a scout saying, hey, I want to do this, how can they find out more?
Just call Aloha Council, and they'll set you up with some names of some units near you, either Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts.
Yep.
We just did a lot of recruiting. September is recruiting month for the Cub Scouts, so we've gone around to just about every school in Hawaii, giving our little spiel and saying, hey, if you're interested, come out. And yeah, my grandson just joined. He's a first grader. He's a Tiger, and he and his dad went on their first camp out.
Now, is that your son? Is that your son Chris's boy?
Oh, my daughter.
Your daughter's boy. Okay. Because, I mean, I think that when and if Chris has kids, I don't know if he has kids, but they'll be born with a fishing rod in their hand.
Well, you know, my dad took me fishing, so when my son was, I guess he was 1 year old, we started going out in Kaneohe Bay.
Well, as you know, it's always been a family tradition in Hawaii, different methods and everything else. And that's why I was going to say, when you talk about these things, I was up at the Bishop Museum the other day, and their collection of Macau now is unbelievable. I mean, they're static in Hawaiian Hall. The fishing stuff that you can see now, just thank heaven it's been preserved. It is gorgeous.
It's amazing. And just to think that they actually caught fish with some of that stuff.
Yeah, can go figure, right?
And, you know, if we did it, we could probably go out and use that stuff and use their techniques and catch fish today.
You know, for those that don't know about this, let's talk a little bit more, because you mentioned earlier what this designation was, and I sort of cut in on it. My guy said, what is this new title?
I am a BSA Certified Angling Instructor.
Do you get a little badge for that? I bet you.
Yeah, if you do the 12-hour class, you do. We was only 12 hours of classroom. We fished two different rivers and a lake there on the Philmont Scout Ranch. Should I say trout choked water?
Is that right?
Oh, it was so much fun.
You know, Stan, here's the thing, and everybody's going to, I know, ask you this. Here in Hawaii, most of our kids are going to be saltwater guys. They're going to go down with their scoop nets, the tide pools. They're going to go whipping. They're going to go dunking, maybe spearfishing and everything else. But what about freshwater? I mean, you know, you've been the leader of the freshwater pack for a long time. There's more and more local kids, from what I understand, at Nuuanu, or I should say, trying to learn how to freshwater fish.
Yeah, the catfish at Nuuanu, then over there at Ho'omalahia and up at Lake Wilson. And I imagine some of the rivers, if you get in some of the, you know, your neighborhood of Manoa Valley has a little river going through it. Some of those places do want streams.
Hey, I see kids. I see kids hiking in the Ainaina Stream with their little fishing rods all the time.
Oh yeah,
yeah, they have a lot of fun.
But you know, like this, the fly tying part of it. We say, well, why would I take fly tying fly fishing merit badge? Well, yeah, you may not do much fly fishing. I know they do that for the bonefish here, and you can catch papillon on a fly rod.
Sure, sure.
But the fly tying part of it. We use damashi, flies.
You know, and flies. That's another thing that I would imagine for you was a big kick. You can get that line, you know, the 7 or 8 hook spread thing for a couple bucks.
Yes.
And take it back to the maze and say, look at this.
And, you know, I said, okay, tie this fly, and instead of using a fly rod, just, you know, put it on your spinning rod, have a little bubble or wooden floater in front of it, whip it out there, guarantee you're going to catch puppy over there.
And look how inexpensive they are. That's the other thing that has got to be broached, because I would imagine while you're learning in this, there's got to be equipment involved in everything else. How does that work for the for scouting to earn this badge? Obviously, a kid's got to have his own equipment, but what is provided? What can they learn on?
Well, for the fly fishing merit badge, I have all the rods and reels, and I have the fly tying kits, the little vise that holds the hook, the thread, bobbins, the scissors, and all that. I paid for it myself.
I can tell you something. I got given one of those fly tying little things there. You know, you clamp it onto the desk.
That's it.
It's more fun than a barrel of monkeys.
But the nice part about it is, okay, you could go down to Cabela's and buy that for $32.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it for $16 because the manufacturer wants to get those people out there tying flies.
Of course.
So the Boy Scouts got a discount so I can buy that. Same thing with the rods and reels. But what I want to do is I want to teach that, say, again, that our group is going over to Ho'omalahia fishing. I want to get up there before they go and say, okay, this is the kind of rod, your little bamboo pole you need.
Mm-hmm.
This is the size line, the hook, and this little floater. This is how you bait the hook. So you now, Mom, go down to your local fishing supply store and you get this. This is what you need. Here's the list.
Yeah, that's the key. Because you know what? Remember when the big box guys first came over here? That's when I was still heavily involved in the business. Most everything they sent was mainland stuff, and nobody was buying it because they just didn't know what it was. It's not that it didn't work. They just didn't know how to use it. So now what you're saying is, rather than go and buy a 10-speed mountain bicycle to ride on the sidewalk, get a sidewalk bike. Get the right stuff.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's great.
And teach them how to use it, and everybody's going to benefit. The kids will have the right kind of equipment. They'll know how to use it safely, and the stores are going to get more business because they're going to be buying stuff.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? All right, now on that subject, let's talk about it a little bit. In between things, we talked about, and I want to make sure because of this council segment, that people are now, from what I understand, across the country, Stan, thanks to Hawaii Bass Fishing, thanks to your son Chris, and thanks to others, more and more people are, and some of the guides here, are looking at Hawaii as a place to get a record bonefish or a record oio at.
Well, I'll tell you, my son is out there this week, and you know how windy it was on Friday.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see how they did, but they're out there chasing bonefish. And the people are calling and said, you know, another thing they're calling about is, said, well, I've been deep sea fishing. I've been freshwater fishing. Do you do any light tackle inshore fishing? Can you go out in the boat and jig the little jigs and catch the little bottom fish or whip for the papillo and stuff like that? And that is a totally untapped market here in Hawaii.
Yeah, and it's, you know what? It's very viable. Just the other day, I was outside Kahala, and I saw a couple little kids with a little tiny boat. I think it had maybe a 5-horsepower motor on it. They're outside the reef, and they were having a ball. Some guy had a papillo on. It was about a 2-pounder. They were having a ball.
And people will pay good money to do that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is... I tell you, we try to balance things, and as you know, we're looking more now at home-based management. In other words, for stakeholders in Waimanalo or in Kali, Kaneohe or wherever, to be a part of the data gathering. That I would think, if it learned at the level of the scouts that you're talking about, these kids are not only going to learn how to fish, but they're going to learn how to fish responsibly.
Exactly. We're teaching them that stuff. And you know the papillo tagging program they had, the OEO tagging program they had. We're getting a lot of this good information so we can maintain and even increase our fish stocks, and everybody's going to benefit from it.
Yeah, I can tell you that when you and I talked years ago about how some people end up going full cycle in fishing, they go from big meat hunters, offshore draggers trying to catch as much as they can, to fly fishing with, like 1.5-pound test so that everything they hope breaks off. There's a happy medium in there for everybody, isn't there?
Right. Yeah. I'm at that stage. I'm at the last stage now. I get just as much pleasure out of seeing somebody catch a fish as if I'd have caught it myself. In fact, it's like every fish that a kid catches, I caught it.
Yeah, you know, it's like wonderful. Isn't it like you're vicariously living all over again, you know?
Yes.
I think that's the whole clue is why coaches seem to last so long, because they're healthy based on the success of the kids and young folks they're coaching.
That's
so
it.
What do you see? What do you see down the road for this? I mean, first of all, I know that scouting went through major shakeups a couple of years ago. From what I understand, it's coming back, strong as ever. Everybody's sort of on agreement who could be a scout and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of neat that this program has kicked in, especially in Hawaii.
It's going great, and the kids are embracing it. The program's what's important, not who does it and how they do it and whatever like that. So if we can keep this thing, the scouting program, going, I think everybody's going to benefit.
Well, I'll tell you what we got to do. We got to get back together again after you've taught a couple of more pros, after you taught a couple more guys how to do that thing. Stan, always a pleasure. And how's things doing at HawaiiBassFishing.com?
Looking good. Fish are biting.
That's good. All right. There you go. Stan Wright. Former Stan Wright Photography, now Stan Wright Teacher. This segment brought to you by Westpac, Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council. We promote sustainable fishing and optimum yield. Remember, Westpac's mission is to fish forever. And that's what Stan Wright's doing. That's what I'm doing. That's what I want you to do, too. Hey, tell everybody we'll be back again next week. If you want to hear something on the show, you know what to do. Drop me a line, themikebuckshow@aol.com. And if you want to know more about what the council's all about, you go to wpcouncil.org. WPCouncil.org. Have a great weekend. See you next time.